Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting it is love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Let's sing it to him tonight. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. One more time. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. We've got quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'm going to go over these, and I'm going to ask Brother Terry to come and pray over them. And then I'm going to see if he wouldn't mind to sing just a little bit for us. Would y'all like to hear him sing that God is good all the time? I think so. Me too. If he wouldn't mind to sing those verses. Brother Harry's just everybody's favorite singer. But I think I'd rather hear Brother Terry sing that than anybody on this earth. So if he don't mind to lead us in that, we'll take these knees to the Lord. If you could pray and then just lead us in that song for just a minute, that'd be great. Brother Brian Taylor is a streamer from Alabama. Requests prayer for the saints at Happy Valley. He's in dire need of God to move, not only with health issues he's having, but also for both critical marital and financial issues. Brother Joel Brown turned this in. He spoke with him on Monday, and his circumstances are very pressing to the point he's not knowing what to do. He's truly at his wit's end. Please pray for that brother with these issues. Also pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy, that his body will accept the nutrients that he's receiving for nourishment. Just remember him. Brother Eddie Jablonski, sick, unable to be in church tonight. Sister Marianne Bond turns this in. Please pray for the Gassman family from Brother David Seiler's church. They lost their son Daniel and his fiancée to a fatal car accident last night. Young folks there. So let's remember those folks there, that family, just a real tragedy there. Please pray for David Pierce. He's in the ICU on a ventilator for the second time in the last several weeks. His heart ejection fraction is below 10%. Normal is 50 to 70%. Please pray for our granddaughter, who is his only child, that the Lord will give her strength and the rest of the family to make the right decisions that he's not able to make at this time. So Sister Irene turns that in. Let's remember that need. Please pray with us about our friends in Arkansas, their little daughter Maria, having surgery on Friday to remove a tumor on her brain. She's 5 years old. Her parents are Michael and Sarah Davis. Also, my mother, Sue Sims, is still suffering with her back. Please remember her. So very serious need there. Let's remember that. Pray for Brother Kevin Keith's mother, probably going to need a pacemaker, and also his father, who's having several problems in his body, needs a touch from the Lord. Sister Martha Ann Johnson turns this in to pray for her nephew. He's handicapped. He was rushed to the hospital Monday morning, immediately was admitted, losing a lot of blood from his colon. After numerous tests, the gastroenterologist has found a huge tumor requiring immediate surgery, as soon as the surgery can be put in the surgery schedule. So let's remember that young man. Please pray for Ron Wade, having problems with vertigo. Also, pray for Sister Linda Nunley. She's to have further tests for conditions with her body. And also remember Brother Daniel. He's still coughing and losing weight. Also remember their daughter Danielle, who's been a wonderful in helping the family during this time. So let's pray that God will just continue to give her strength. Brother Terry, does mind come and take these needs of the Lord? If we stand tonight, let's just join him in prayer tonight.
It's so good to be here again tonight. Let's join our faith together. Remember, you touch God with faith. Shouting, singing, all those wonderful things, but you touch God by faith. That's how we touch God. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we believe you're an ever-present help in a time of trouble. We believe, Lord, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. We think about the song the prophet of God said, even only believe. He said it was the angel's favorite song, and that was his theme. Only believe, for all things truly are possible. So, Lord, we come to, and we believe faith has been restored by the seventh angel messenger. Is this faith in the building tonight? We are believers. We believe that you are the same. What you did yesterday, you do for us still the same. So we bring these requests before you, each one, several serious requests. Brother and Sister Nunley, both of them have a really need in their body, and we believe that you would undertake in their behalf. We bind the devil that would hinder, and we just believe, Lord, give us faith. Help our unbelief that we can come to that point and believe for them. And many prayers have been offered up in their behalf, and each one, these other requests, the brother and that lost their son and the church down there, I pray, dear God, that you would just help them, Lord. What a tragic accident, a car accident, and a life taken away, and the fiance. Oh, God, just be with that family and help them and comfort them. Lord, those types of situations, they're so hard to deal with. Only you can be a comfort at that time. I pray for, Lord, for our pastor over in Israel. You just give him a good time of fellowship with the other brothers and sisters and the saints over there and the different ones and the places they might go. Keep him safe is our prayer. Lord, just bless the service tonight of the speaker. Give him, Lord, the anointing, the things to say that you laid upon his heart. May you just help him to get out of the way. And what he says to us, Lord, let it be spiritual food in due season. And Lord, when we leave the building tonight, we say it's been good to be in the house of God. You give us opportunity. We're in this free country, yet we know it won't last forever, but while it's still, we have the opportunity to join this freedom, say it's been good to go to church, and we can still go to church and worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless your children tonight. Touch each one of these requests. Lord, only I mentioned a couple, but all of them were read, and you know all about each one. We committed into your hands. We ask, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Well, surely God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God is good all the time. I want you all to sing too. Song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart. God is good. Oh, God is good. Sing the chorus one more time before we sing the verses.
You can be seated tonight. Thank you so much, Brother Terry. That was just great. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight, we've got several thank yous that folks would like for us to share with you tonight. Brother Keith Phillips wanted to say, just dear saints, want to thank you everyone for every single prayer, also for the cards, texts, phone calls, and short visits. Lastly, but not least, the food prepared and the groceries means a lot. I'll be back soon. That's from Brother Keith. So he said, here, absent in body, but there in spirit. So let's remember Brother Keith tonight. Sister Jan Winters said, brothers and sisters, I thank you all for the lovely cards, phone calls through the last few years of my sickness. I so appreciate the streaming capabilities that we have as I await getting to be in our services and seeing your faces as we worship our Lord together. So let's remember Sister Winters. Sister Shama and family would like to thank everyone for the prayers and cards on their behalf too. So let's just remember those folks tonight. Let's sing that Highway to Heaven. D. Sing this with me tonight.
Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's Highway. Me, angels to guide me, walking up the King's Highway.
Help me sing it.
But it's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart.
If everything is true, it's what what I have found in you. Lord, to me, there's nothing so real. And though there is no way I can repay you, I'll give you whatever you want. I live a life that says you give me every song, with my every breath. I'll make your mercy known with every soul.
Appreciate that song tonight. So good. Let's stand tonight. Brother Joe Harris getting ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Brother Terry said it's great to be in church tonight. We're glad to be here. Truth is, though, we leave in one or two ways. We can leave worse shape than we showed up, or we'll leave in better shape. I don't think there was a third option, was there, Brother Terry mentioned. So we've got those two choices tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to leave here just a little closer to the Lord. Do you tonight? Let's sing this song as Brother Joe comes to preach to us tonight. Jesus, draw me close. And F, let's make that a prayer tonight. Let's pull on the word tonight. Let's all leave here just a little closer than when we came. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to to worship and
heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a better place that we could be, Lord, tonight than closer to you. Lord, that should be every heart desire here tonight, Lord. If that's not our desire, Lord, why would we even be here? To be closer to you, Lord. Lord, as I pray tonight, Lord, as we get into the service, Father, it's fallen my lot to bring the word to your bride, Father. Lord, what a responsibility. I've never understood, Lord, since I've started preaching, why anybody would want to do this, Lord, with the magnitude that it holds to bring word from the bridegroom to the bride. Lord, be with us tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that every single heart here, Father, would be clear. If there's anything in here, in anybody's heart, anybody's mind, Lord, that would be a hindrance. Lord, I pray that they would make that right tonight. Lord, if there's some way, anything, Lord, that would hinder your spirit from moving tonight, Lord. If it's in me, Lord, if it's anywhere from the front to the back, Lord, may you move it out. May you have preeminence, Lord. Lord, we give this moment to you. This is your hour. This is your moment, Lord, and we give it to you. We will all step back, Lord, and let you have the floor, as it were, Father. We thank you, Father, for being with us. We thank you for the worship, Lord. Lord, as we turn to the word, may you bless it, Lord. Bless these people, Lord, every need that's in their life, Lord, whether it be sickness, financial, Lord, mental, depression, whatever it may be, Father. Lord, we have the cure here tonight. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really an honor to be with y'all again. I'm nervous as usual, Brother Terry. But I guess that's a good thing. I was telling a brother a while ago, I remember sending Brother Donnie the letter when I first felt the Lord dealing with my heart. And I found that letter the other day in my email archive. It was 2006. And I called him on the phone and I sent him an email and I went over and talked to him in person. And when I was talking to him on the phone, he said, "You want to preach Wednesday night?" I said, "No, sir." I said, "I'll get back with you." Well, I got back with him about 2.5-3 years later. So, needless to say, this is not something I rushed into. Despite all the nervousness and the urges to run out the back door, I can honestly say I've had that urge every time I've been in there to leave. But any minister, these brothers, Brother Terry, Brother West, and Brother Gino, they will tell you that the honor to have the pastor call you and ask you to take a service, or it's a great buffer for that nervousness. It really outweighs that. So I'm honored that, I don't mean to hold you standing, but I'm honored that he would have that confidence in me. And these brothers know what that's like. So, if you got your Bibles, I'll get you seated real quick. Matthew 17, verse 20. We're going to read in Matthew 17 and Matthew 21. I'm going to get these on, or I'm not going to read anything. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And this is Jesus is telling them when he rebuked the epilepsy devil out of the child, and he tells him that this demon goeth out not but by praying and fasting. Matthew 21, verses 20 and 21. This is the fig tree, when Jesus cursed the fig tree. "And when Jesus saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall say this which is done to the fig tree. But also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." You may be seated. And by those scriptures, you're probably thinking we're going to have a sermon on faith tonight. I wished it was. That's no further the truth than that. In reading them scriptures, and I'm going to read you another scripture here in a little bit, if we can dwell on them scriptures there. And Jesus telling about moving the mountain. This mountain, Jesus, in the Greek, describes it as to remove mountains to accomplish the most difficult, stupendous, incredible thing. It's a proverbial phrase. To accomplish. This mountain that he's referring to remove mountains, is to accomplish something stupendous, incredible. Sure. The mountain is what they're just talking about. So is reading the scripture. So many times, until I got to studying this, I'd always took these scriptures for granted. And you look at the scripture and you think, you know, I can remove. Jesus is saying that I could move any mountain in my life. Jesus is not saying that, y'all. Jesus is not saying that you can remove every mountain in your life and cast it into the sea. Jesus' emphasis was on the faith. He said you could have, if you had this much faith, you could take this, speak to the mountain in your life, and it could be removed and cast into the sea. He didn't say, with this much faith, you will be removing all the mountains in your life. How weak would we be as Christians if God moved every mountain in our life? If you was able to speak with just a grain of mustard seed to the mountain in your life, if you was to say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, spiritually speaking, and it was removed.
Amen.
How strong would you be as a Christian if you never had to climb that mountain? And what we find in our in lives of people, they get these mountains as they were in their placed in their lives, and they come up to the foot of that mountain and they sit. And they wait, and they wait for God to move that mountain. They wait for God to move the mountain. And all along, God placed that mountain in their life to make them stronger. We'll get in a minute to the different mountains in our life, but if we look at that, take a minute and look at your life and think of how many of the mountains have I sat on the bottom for so many years. Where would I be as strength as a Christian today if I'd have climbed that mountain? If I hadn't have sat there and prayed, Lord, for years, God, please move this mountain. God, please move this mountain. All the while, God's predestination for me was to climb to the top of that mountain. That's when your faith gets stronger. That's when your faith the size of a grain of mustard seed gets bigger. When you climb to the top of that mountain. You know, that's why we never find out what God has for us at the top of the mountain, because we're never climbing them. So what we're going to look at tonight for a minute, we're going to look at a mountain climber. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came into Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb's one of my, about my favorite Gentile in the whole Bible. When the children of Judah came into Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb's talking about them other 10 spies that went with he and Joshua. They went out and they looked at Mount Hebron. They looked in Canaan had all these mountain ranges that they had. And all the giants that lived up and down these mountain ranges. And they said, it's impossible. How many times have you said that in your life when God puts a mountain in your life? And you said, this is impossible. I can't do this. This is what Caleb had to deal with, was the doubt, the reasoning, and everything of the other spies that went into the land. This is what Caleb and Joshua had to deal with. And Satan's going to make sure they're in your life telling you constantly it's impossible for you to do this. He's going to refer you back to Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 20. where he says, God says if you'll speak this mountain, it'll be moved to the sea. Satan knows the word. So here, Caleb and Joshua had to deal with this, and Caleb says, I turned it off. I didn't listen to any of it. He said, but nevertheless, the brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God.
Amen.
I didn't listen to that. And Moses swore on that day, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, he's 85 years old, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Are you as strong today as a Christian as you was 40 years ago? What if you're not? You know yourself better than anybody. What if you're not? What's caused that? What has caused you not to be any stronger this year than you was last year? Have you allowed, has God put mountains in your life? I said, God allows the mountains in your life. God will allow the mountains in your life. But have you let Satan talk you out of climbing them? Have you let the devil let you look at everything in your life, your finances, your depression, your sickness, your diseases, your lost husband, your lost wife, your lost child? And you're thinking, Lord, there's no hope. And you've sat at the foot of that mountain and you've got weaker and you've got weaker. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. For so be the Lord, be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb said, give me my mountain.
Amen.
If you know the Lord's got a mountain for you, just say, God, give it to me.
Amen.
Give it to me. Like Peter said, I glory in my trials. Paul gloried in his infirmities because he knew what was at the top.
Amen.
So we look. Let's look at our lives. Look at each of us. Look at the mountains in our life. Every one of us has got mountains. Every one of us has sat at the bottom of our mountain, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do. Thinking for years, we've sat there and prayed, Lord, throw it into the sea. Cast it into the sea. And God's telling you the whole time, no, you've got to climb this one. That's God's desire for you. So many times in our lives, we can't look at God's plan for us because all we see is the mountain. You don't look at the equipment God gives you to climb the mountain. You come in here 3 times a week. And God hands out equipment to you all the time to climb this mountain. God gives you a map, the ways around this mountain. God gives you information on what's on top of the mountain. And we still sit there. And we wonder why we're not stronger. We wonder why we don't get nothing out of service. We let the weight of our mountain, it oppresses us. It holds us back. You ever looked at the mountain that Caleb wanted? Caleb wanted Mount Hebron. Go look it up. Mount Hebron was one of the most treacherous mountain ranges in Canaan. Had the biggest giants on it. Had the biggest cities on it. And that's the one he wanted. The bigger the devil, the better. That was Caleb's outlook on it. I want the biggest devils you got. I don't care that I'm 85 years old. That means I've been fighting devils for 85 years. That means I'm stronger now. If you ain't fighting devils, you're not getting any stronger. But we spend so much of our time waiting for God to move everything for us. We put so much on God. I ain't saying God's not willing to do everything for you. But look at yourself as parents. You have a child. You raise him up when he's a baby. You feed him. You change him. You put him to bed. He gets older. It's about 10. You feed him, you change him, you put him to bed. He becomes a teenager. You feed him. You change him. You put him to bed. By the time he's 20, that's going to be hard. And that's the way we want God to treat us sometimes. God wants us to be able to, for a way to put it, Christian adults. Sure, we're children of God. My boy's 19 years old. I'm not going to pick him up and change him. And I'm about tired of feeding him. He can eat. But when we look at that, well, God says, I want to see what you can do. First time you put your child on that bike. First time you put him on a bike and you took them training wheels off. How much joy did he get, your child get, he or she get, when you first put them on the bike with the training wheels and they took off? Boy, they thought they were doing something. And then you took them training wheels off and they fell a time or two. And when they fell, they didn't want back on. You've climbed a little hill or two here and you fell and you've skinned your knee up and you said, God, I've had enough. I can't climb anymore. My knees hurt. Where's strength in that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when a real trial hits you? I was telling Brother Jimmy earlier, I heard on the news a couple weeks ago, this family over in West Tennessee. They believed on the Lord to heal their child of pneumonia. I think the child might have been 6. Refused to take it to the doctor. Refused. The child died. The child died while they were sitting at the bottom of their mountain. They went to jail for manslaughter. It's a good place for them. You know, hey, I'm a nice, loving guy. But if I knew anybody in here that lives in Elizabethan, did that to her kid, I'd come to your door with a warrant. That's just the way it is. I'm going to read a quote here in a minute that explains that. That Brother Brandon said. I'm falling behind. But there's so many times that we come to the foot of our mountain and you say, Brother Joe, I can't climb the mountain. I don't have faith. I don't have the faith that I need to climb this mountain that God's placed in your life. I don't have the faith. You know, there's times that people would come up to the prayer line. And Brother Branham says, you think you don't have faith. You tell yourself that you don't have faith. He said, you've got tremendous faith. You have tremendous faith. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't have faith? There's things in our life that God puts in our life. It's hard to have faith for. It's super hard to have faith. When Sister Margie passed away, Gary's one of my best friends. It was hard. And he and I talked about it. It's hard for him to have faith that God's going to give him peace and comfort in that time. When Sister Marge was sick, and they knew that if God didn't intervene, she was going to die. Well, you're in that situation. It's hard for you to have faith. There's nothing wrong with that. That's when you come together as children of God and you have faith for them. But when you get to the point where you don't feel like you don't have faith, you don't come up on the bottom of your mountain and just sit there. So what do? You don't have enough faith. You've lost a loved one. You deal with it every day. We've had a lot of funerals here in the last 5-10 years. There's people still grieving over the passing of their loved ones. Their wife, their husband, their mother, their father, their child. How do you deal with that? That's the mountain that God has placed in your life for a reason. You might not know yet. But don't sit at the bottom of that mountain saying, God, please move this mountain. God says, you'll be stronger if you climb. You won't be stronger if I move it. But Branham said, and why? If we can't have faith, let's get something else. How many knows what that something else is? I didn't. Because I read that, let's get something else. I stayed there for about 5-10 minutes. I had no idea there was anything else. Brothers, I don't think that one's in there. I'm sorry, Brother Eric. Faith is the first. Let's pick the next best thing if we can't get that.
Come on.
Look at the world and the condition it's in. Poor, suffering humanity. If you don't, this is what he says, if you don't have faith, help everyone you can. Everything that helps is of God. Don't sit back and watch somebody go through something and not help them. That's humanity. That's not just Christian. That's humanity. Have a heart for those that's going through things. Extend a hand. Extend help. What can I do to help you? And even more so, if it's your brother and sister in Christ, what can I do to help you? If we can't have faith, let's get something else. Everything that helps is of God. Let's help. Let's do everything we can and pray for men. The thing to do, brother, is to get our arms together. Both medicine, doctors, hospitals, nurses, church, and all together put our faith in God and move forward. That's what we need. This last sentence says it all. God's going to ask us why we didn't do it some of these days. Why did you not have compassion? Why did you not help? Why did you not go to the doctor? Why did you not take your child to the doctor? Why didn't you go to your brothers and sisters and ask for help? Everybody's mountain's different. You might end up with a mountain of sickness, financial difficulties, depression, bitterness, anger, pride. There's so many different mountains. There's mountains that people get in their life. Pride. Bitterness. There's people. I know people that have sat at the foot of a mountain of bitterness their entire life. Have sat there and that mountain's just piled in around them. It's just piled in around and consumed them. If you don't climb it, it will consume you. Your pride. Your religious arrogance. You say, what's religious arrogance, Brother Joe? That's simple. That's somebody that sits in church, has no idea that they're not it. They're the stuff. They know how to worship. They know how the song service is supposed to go. They know how the instruments are supposed to go. So-and-so worship gets on their nerves because they're not worshiping like they are. They know how long the pastor's supposed to preach. They know how long who's supposed to sing special songs. That's religious arrogance. They've got it all figured out and everybody needs to be like them. Your mountain will consume you. You've got to understand, God's mindful of you and what your abilities are. He knows what your abilities are. He's not going to put a mountain in your life that you can't climb. He said, he'll never put more on you than you can bear. So when God puts a mountain in your life, we're going to look at some characters here in a minute, but God put mountains in their life. Some of them didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He wants you to climb. God knows what's waiting at the top of your mountain. How many knows what the top of the mountain is? Christ is the top of the mountain. He's always there. Let's look at Job for a minute. Job's trial. He hadn't done anything. He ain't done anything to deserve a trial. Other than be a son of God. And that's a perfect sign you're going to get one. So here's Job sitting there minding his own business, sacrificing for himself, for his kids, taking care of everything that he has. And God lets Satan put a mountain right on top of him. What's Job going to do? He's going to go to his friends. His friends couldn't help him. His friends accused him of being a secret sinner. We got to be careful, because sometimes we're like Job. What Job started to do when God put this mountain in his life was to look at his own works. Was to look at what he did right. And then he began to accuse God wrong. So many times we do that in our life. God, we become like Job, and God puts a mountain in our life and we start accusing God. You say, how would I accuse God? How did Job accuse God? Job accused God of not being able to bring him back. Not being able to raise him up if he died. And here we go accusing God. God, you put this mountain in my life. I can't do that. God, you can't help me through that mountain. You put more on me, God. This is the Job that comes out in us so many times. Brother Branham said in Victory Day, when it looks like everything has gone wrong, God has given you a trial. He's got confidence in you. He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant, a hybrid. You're a real Christian. God has given you a test. See what you'll do about it. Amen. No wonder. No wonder Peter said these fiery trials count as joy. It's more precious to you than gold. And many times we hum and haw. Oh, well, it's just, well, that's something God give you to overcome. He knows you do it. He put his trust in you. That's hard to fathom sometimes, especially in our lives. We get cancer, or our family members get cancer. God takes a loved one in our life, and you can't comprehend how God can trust you with that. You can't comprehend. I mean, how many times we've seen brothers and sisters come in here fight cancer for years. Fight cancer for years and ultimately win the ultimate battle. And we see that and we think, how can he trust me if he's given me cancer? How can he trust me if I've got to file bankruptcy now? How can God, I'm battling depression. I've never battled depression in my life. In the last 3 months I've been so depressed. It's impossible for God to trust me with that. That's not me. Never is there not a word in God's language.
Praise the Lord. Think about it. Read your book. Come on.
Look at the children of Israel. What happened to the children of Israel? They didn't trust God anymore. They falsely accused God. God, you can't get us through this. You're starving us. You brought us out here to kill us. This was their outlook on it. They didn't trust him anymore. They got used to God doing everything for them. Everything. He fed them in the wilderness. He gave them water. He clothed them. Shoes never wore out. Everything they did, God done it for them. And then they get one trial in their life. One mountain placed in front of them. They come to the Red Sea. I mean, God brings them out. I mean, how in the world can you sit there and look at the pillar of fire and complain? I have never understood that. God bring you out of something, and you're following the pillar of fire, and you see that right there, the pillar of fire of Jehovah standing there, and you're complaining. How in the world can we do that? You said we don't do that. We do that. You've had this word put before you your entire life. The pillar of fire has been placed amongst the children of this day. Sons and daughters of God, and we still sit and complain. We see God move so many times. We've seen God move mountain after mountain after mountain, and we still complain. You've seen God help people climb to the top of their mountain. You've seen people overcome things you thought could never overcome. It's because they climbed their mountain, and you watch it, and you still complain. God, why are you doing this? In Hebrews series 57 in chapter 3, when they got down there, Moses went out and interceded to God. God just opened the Red Sea and they walked across. Closed the enemy in. That's the way God does it. Don't get scared. Don't get all excited. Don't be frustrated. You provoke God. Then what did he do? We got one big trial, which was the Red Sea. Bless God, we got over it. We won't have no more. We're on our road to the promised land. God moves a mountain for you. You think he's going to move them all. They were in for a rude awakening. And he led them right into the desert where there's no water. Can you imagine God with a sanctified holy people led them right out to this trap? Brother Branham called it a trap. God trapped them. God, why in the world have you got me in a trap like this? I ain't been able to pay my mortgage for 3 months. God, you've trapped me. Won't you get up and climb? Get up and climb a little bit. Maybe next time you'll be only 2 months behind. God led them right out, got them out of that trap and led them right there where there's no water. When he could have took them somewhere there was water, he could have just made a river all the way along if he wanted to. He could have broke every mountain into joy, spurting water 50 feet in the air if he wanted to. Sure he could. But if he'd done it that way, it'd been too easy. We want it easy. Laodicea wants it easy. They want a straight, nice, flat, smooth road right into glory. The way is narrow and it's hard. And it's uphill. But if he'd done that, it'd been too easy. Why did God let that happen, Brother Branham? Why did God? God is doing that. Let him alone. Just walk on. That's God's business. The footprints of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Yes, sir. What difference does that make? God never said, lost all my money, Brother Branham. Well, bless God anyhow. I did this and this happened. Storm blew away my house. Bless God anyhow. The Lord give, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep walking on. It's all the glory of God. God knows what he's doing. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through deep trial, but all through the blood. That's the way he leads us. That's right. I feel like I could just stop and scream the way he leads his dear children. Can you just feel? I'm not a psychologist, but you can feel that lovely spirit now bathing over the building. What if our eyes could just come open and look, see what's around the sides of the walls up and down these aisles? The children of Israel got hampered a little bit by unbelief. It was unbelief that got them. That's the part I don't understand. How could you could disbelieve something that's standing right in front of you? Something you're looking at supernatural. Your very life. You look at the lives of sons and daughters of God here that God has supernaturally changed. Amen. If you knew what they were, right, had they not had the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you look at that, you should have no unbelief at all. Amen. I've seen God change people's lives. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God move when it didn't seem to be any way to move. Amen. How can you have unbelief? Amen. Unbelief will keep you at the foot of the mountain. Amen. There's obstacles all over the mountain. All over the mountain. It's not just a mountain. You're going to fight when you get on the mountain. You're going to have to fight. We're going to get in Caleb just a minute and I'll rush on. But whenever Paul was telling them in Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God. Why do you armor up? Because you're in a fight every day. When Caleb went to take this mountain, Caleb went with sword and shield and armor. He didn't put his robe and his walking sandals on and go take that mountain. He had to fight. So just because when God puts a mountain in your life, and you say, okay, I'm going to climb, be prepared for battle. It's not just the mountain itself. The devil is going to try to stop you every step of the way. You got cancer in your life, God's going to let you climb that mountain. But Satan's going to fight you every way. That's his job. That's what he does. Don't be surprised when you start, you think God's given you enough faith, enough strength to climb the mountain. All of a sudden, you get two steps up and Satan hits you. Well, it must not have been God's will for me to climb that mountain. That's Satan's job. Yours is to climb. Yours is to defeat him. Hey, you're probably going to get knocked down off the mountain a time or two. You ever play that game, King of the Mountain? Keep fighting. One day you will be. You'll be the King of the Mountain. But we look at Caleb. I love this story. I'm jumping across some notes here. I apologize. But when Caleb looked at this mountain, he wanted the land that had the biggest giants. The worst terrain, the most difficult circumstances in all of Canaan. And that's what he wanted to go live on. Because God gave it to him. We claim so many possessions in our life that we never go get. God's done this for me. God's done this. Well, I want to see it in your life. I want to see it in your life. If God's give you that, go get it. Don't just quote scriptures. Well, God's done this for me. God's done this for me. Let me see it, the fruits in your life. I'm preaching to me too. I'm preaching to all of us, because there's things that God's given us, promises that God has given us in His Word that we're not taking. It's lip service only. God's given me this. God's given me that. I want to see it manifested in my life. I want to see what God has for me at the top of the mountain. I don't want to sit here and look up at the mountain all the time. I want what's mine. Christ is what's mine. Christ is the top of the mountain. But Caleb says, I'll take the land, the mountain that God promised me. He saw the giants, the obstacles, everything that came with it. His faith never wavered.
Amen.
You got to understand, your ability, God, don't measure the mountain of your life by your own abilities.
Amen.
God puts a trial in your life. Don't measure it by your own abilities.
Amen.
You'll never get you'll never muster enough faith or energy to go after it. Measure your mountain by your God. That's how you measure your mountains. That's how you know if you can climb a mountain or not, is how big is your God. What equipment does these guys that go climb these mountains, they climb Mount Everest, they spend days. They spend days getting supplies and equipment to go prepare to climb this mountain. How many of you ever met somebody that climbs mountains? Rock climbers and stuff. These guys that scale these things. When I lived in Idaho, I went to school with this boy. He was more bicycler up these mountains and stuff. But you ever sit and talk to one? They're the most positive people in the world. There's nothing they can't do. And that's their personality. Is they could do anything. Because they're mountain climbers. These guys go out and scale thousands of feet with nothing. With ropes and harnesses. And no fear. God wants mountain climbers. Whenever it is revealed to you, your mountain climbing abilities, there's nothing you can't do. There's no mountain too big to climb. There's no terrain too wide, too vast to take possession of. Because in your mind, in your spiritual mind, you can do anything. You're a mountain climber. God's making mountain climbers. He's not making people bulldozers. I'm going to bulldoze my mountain over into the ocean, into the sea. You're a mountain climber. So from this night on, you're a mountain climber. So Saturday night, come get some more equipment. Sunday morning, come get some more equipment. Okay? I'm gonna look at some characters. While I was studying this, I got to looking at characters in the Bible that had mountains in their life. Blind Bartimaeus. Talk about a mountain. Well, sometimes God will put mountains in our life for reasons. Jesus said there was no reason this mountain was put in His life. No reason. Go read John 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither.
Amen.
Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. Let's dwell on Bartimaeus for a minute. Bartimaeus' parents are blessed with a child. And as he gets a little older, it occurs to them that he's blind. So this is a mountain that God placed in their life. They didn't know why. Scripture doesn't say if they ever questioned God. We know by the Scriptures they were faithful to go to the temple, sacrifice. But God had placed this mountain in their life. And as Bartimaeus got older, their mountain became his mountain. Scripture never says he questions God. God, why did you do this to me? I sit out here by the gate all day. I hear people walking by, having fun, talking, having normal lives. I could hear a man tell his wife how beautiful she is. I've never seen another person. I hear children laughing and playing. And all I've got is this mountain that you gave me. He never questions. He goes to the temple faithfully. He sacrifices. But he hears one day of a man that has done some healing out in the country. And he hears that he's in town. So what does blind Bartimaeus do? He sits outside the gate and he begins to climb.
Amen.
He starts climbing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's climbing. He's not saying, why did you do this to me? He's saying, I'm climbing. And then he climbs more. They tell him to be quiet. The giants on the mountain are trying to beat him back down. And he yells the louder, the Bible says. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do you realize when you call out to the top of the top of the mountain will come to you? So that's what Bartimaeus is doing. He's screaming out. And here comes the top of the mountain. That might be your situation today. It might be your life. You're not one that's ever accused God of wrongfully putting a mountain in your life. You might actually been climbing your mountain for years. But that's all he asks you to do is climb.
Amen.
I promise you, I don't care how many years it takes, if you will climb your mountain, the top of the mountain will come to you. So look at the man at the pool. 38 years. The reason why I brought him here, because I want to look at how long this man had his mountain. 38 years. Has any of us struggled with a mountain in our life that long? Maybe not the same mountain. Maybe you've climbed a mountain or had God move a mountain for you, and you've had mountains continuously through for years.
Amen.
But you've climbed. And so Jesus comes to him. He lived in the same area there. Jesus was born and raised not far from there. Why did he wait so long to go heal him?
Amen.
Why, God, why have I had cancer so long? God, why has my son been lost so long? My daughter backslid so long. Why has my husband left church? Why has my wife left me? Lord, I've been praying for years. I've been climbing this mountain for years, wanting you to bring them back.
All right.
God says, keep climbing.
Amen.
That's what this man by the pool did. He kept climbing. He said, I tried to get in the water. I tried to climb into the pool. It wasn't the water he needed. He needed the mountain. He didn't need water. The top of the mountain came to him. Maybe you can identify with him. Maybe you can identify with the woman with the issue of blood. 18 years spent, all she had. She fulfilled the quote that we talked about a while ago. Brother Branham said, if you don't have faith, try something else. Go to the doctor. She did that. She said, my faith ain't so great, but I'm going to the doctor. Spent all she had trying to climb this mountain. There come to a point where she was too weak to climb in much longer. But the top of the mountain was going to Jairus' house to move Jairus' mountain. So here she goes. She lost all she had. She began to crawl up her mountain. She crawled. And she touched the hem of the garment over the top of the mountain.
Amen.
And she moved God.
Amen.
God's not asking you to be loud and boisterous. God's not asking you to scream out. She went as quietly as she could. Think you got to shout for God to bless you? To scream and holler? That's good if that's the way you're made. I'm not saying that. But it's simple faith.
Amen.
It's simple faith.
Yes, sir.
How many has ever heard the story? I've got the quote somewhere. I don't have it here. When Brother Branham told the entire story about Sister Hattie Wright, where everybody was sitting. Sister Hattie Wright did not jump up and say, scream out, it's nothing but the truth. Brother Branham says she was sitting back in another room. And said, in her voice came to his ears like it does in the woods. That's how he heard it. I asked Brother Donnie, I said, was that the Holy Spirit telling him? Brother Donnie said, I don't know. I don't know either. But that's what Brother Banner said. Her voice came to me like it does in the woods.
Think about it.
Wow. She didn't jump up and scream it out.
Bless the Lord.
And God moved her mountain.
Amen.
And this lady with the issue of blood, you know, you'd think after 18 years, after 38 years, this man, the people, it would give up hope. We can't hold out a week. We get disappointed. God, if we've got a cold for a week. Listen, these were real people with real needs. And they didn't have the Holy Ghost. But they knew where their healing was at. Granted, they had to climb a long time. This man climbed for 38 years. And still never made it in the water. The Bible says he laid there 38 years. Now you might be able to climb a mountain the day that God puts it in your life. The thief on the cross did. The thief on the cross did. He made it to the top of the mountain, didn't even realize it. He was predestinated. Didn't even know it. His entire life he was predestinated, didn't know it. Murdering people, dirty, rotten sinner, and he's predestinated. Now that's grace. That's grace. I'm going to read one more mountain climber here, and we're going to close. The greatest mountain climber of all was the mountaintop. Jesus. He walked on earth. He was clothed in God's righteousness. He was sinless. He had the peace of God. He had God's joy, God's rest. Everything that was of God, he had. God let him walk up a mountain. He walked up a mountain and laid all of that down. And everything that you lay down when you walk up your mountain, He picked up. He picked up what you leave at the top of your mountain. You climb the top of your mountain and there you've conquered cancer. You've conquered depression, bitterness, every lust, everything that's ever in your life, every sin you ever had, and you, whatever your mountain is, and you climb the top of the mountain and you lay it off. And he picked it up. But look at what he dropped off when he climbed the top of his mountain. Look what he was stripped of. He left it there so you could pick it up. You've got to climb Calvary before you can climb any other mountain. And then what he left at Calvary was peace, joy, righteousness, salvation. And that's what he left. You can't look at your faults and your mistakes. You can't look at everything. When you put on everything he took off, Satan's still going to point out your mistakes. Amen. Your faults and your failures. I've probably said it here before. You know, and I forgot Brother Luke Gibson's church. I was telling him, how in the world could you be fishing while you're climbing a mountain? And they all looked at me funny. How can you be fishing when you're looking at a mountain, when you're climbing a mountain? You can't. Satan points out your faults. So you stop at the Sea of Forgetfulness and you cast a pole in. Here you are. You're fishing for that sin you did last year. Satan told you about it, so you're going to go bring it back up. If you're fishing, you ain't climbing. It's impossible. I'm going to read one more quote here. I think I only had like 3 or 4 quotes. I apologize if I had too many. In 56, a blushing prophet. Man, I've skipped a bunch of stuff here. And I think the law of contrast, the reason we appreciate the Holy Spirit so much tonight is because we've lived so long in a church that told us there was no such thing. The reason why we appreciate it tonight is because we have had the other side. That's the way God has intended it to be, because his people have had their ups and downs. You never know how to appreciate a mountaintop unless you've been in the valley. So you never know how to appreciate good water unless you've had some bad sometime. All the way through the law of contrast. Now, there's two things. You're either an unbeliever or a believer. It's either daytime or nighttime. Is that right? Now, I can't say this. Much of this is nighttime, just what I see through that window, that's what's nighttime. The whole thing's nighttime, it's right. I often said smoking cigarettes, chewing tobacco, drinking whiskey, that isn't sin, that's attributes of sin. You do that because you're an unbeliever. Yes. Living righteous and holy and peaceful and calm and quiet and lovely and sociable and so forth, that isn't because you're Christian, it's the attributes of Christianity. Yes. It's because what's in you makes that. Amen. And if you're impersonating it or doing it, because you're supposed to be a Christian, you're a hypocrite. If your life isn't lived sweetly, because in you something comes out, it makes you feel that way. You go through trials and troubles and ups and downs and misunderstood. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. Whenever you climb a mountain and you get knocked down, that doesn't make you not a mountain climber. Just because you get knocked off the mountain a time or two does not mean you're not a mountain climber. But we all know what's waiting at the top of the mountain. Sure. Let's just stand. I want to make sure that I climb my mountains with everything I got. I'm sure there's going to be mountains, Brother Terry, that I'm going to get part way up and I'm going to get knocked back down. But I'm going right back up. If you've got mountains in your life, God thinks you're a mountain climber. You wouldn't have them if you weren't. He's not going to give a trial to a son or daughter of God that can't do it. He's not going to give you a mountain that you can't climb. I don't care what it is. I mean, you look at the world today, there's so many things going on. There's so many diseases. There's so many things that Satan can throw at you. nowadays. I mean, it's the worst age there ever was.
Right.
I always marveled me that Brother Branham said that Peter and the apostles and disciples, prophets of that day, longed to live in this day.
Yeah.
They longed to live this day. This is the age he's coming back in.
Amen.
But they weren't made for this day. They weren't made for that. But Terry, I believe when we get news of your arrival ends up on the other side,
yes, sir,
there's going to be a lot of knocking people over to get to you.
Amen.
They want to hear your story. Brother West, they want to hear your story. I could see Peter knocking people out of the way to get to you. You say, Peter, I want you to tell me what it was like to hang up on, to have the faith to hang upside down.
Yes, sir.
To be beaten as you would. Peter said, that's nothing. That's nothing. I want you. When you came through the mountain range of Laodicea, how did you do that? How did you do that? There's not one person, not one prophet, apostle, disciple from this word, from this Bible right here, that wants to tell their story to you. They want to hear yours. They want to hear how you made it through. After it's all over, and we're all standing on top of the mountain. And you can look back. You can look back and see everywhere you came from. Every dead devil behind you.
Amen.
What a glorious day.
Amen.
Well, Harry, can we sing that song, After All? Do you know that one? After All. Just imagine that, though. When all the mountains are over, all the mountain climbing's over.
Amen.
You're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we take a body change. You're going to be. You might be in the middle of a mountain the day the rapture takes place. Everybody's not going to be standing on top of their mountain. You're going to be fighting battles. This flesh right here, is sin. It's sin. So the day, the twinkling of an eye that the rapture takes place, you're probably still going to be fighting a battle. But I promise you, you'll be winning.
Many, and oft times my feet grow weary, till it seems I almost stumble then and fall. Oh, but the tender hand that leads me is the hand that keeps me steady. by myself I cannot make it, but I know He's here to help me. He will hear my cry if only I will call. Just keep trusting, keep on believing. All the words I hear Him whisper, just a few more days to labor after all. Oh, after all, this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall. Savior is preparing. It gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. After all, this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall. Savior is preparing. It gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Oh, after all, this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain top so tall. Looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all.
Brother Eric, can you find that sometimes it takes a mountain?
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. Get a hold of me. Oh Lord, your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Trust you and believe. Oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. Sometimes it takes. sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. But I know your love is so much stronger. Yes, it is, than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert, oh, to get a hold of me.
I was studying this last night. I had this thought. I've had this sermon for a year or two. But I was laying there thinking. I kind of woke up in the morning, and this thought came to me when God showed Moses and Joshua the promised land. They knew they had to fight for it. They knew it was going to be tough. They knew that this was going to be a fight. So when God puts a mountain in your life and tells you take possession of that mountain, you have to understand, when God told them take possession of the land,
amen,
every foot, every step you take of that land was your possession.
Amen.
But look at what kind of foot they put on that land. This was a foot that was laced up for battle.
Yes.
They were ready to fight. They had their fighting shoes on.
Yes.
So when they took the land, they fought. They killed.
Amen.
They went in and wiped it out.
Amen.
They ripped it from the enemy.
Yes, sir.
When God put the mountain in your life, it says, go take this mountain. And this mountain is your backslid son or daughter. You rip it out of the hands of the devil.
Amen.
Your backslid husband, rip it out of the hands of the devil. Your disease, take possession of it. Rip it from his grimy hands.
Amen.
Listen, you've got the greatest general ever.
Amen.
The battle plan is perfect. He's never had a bad battle plan.
Amen.
So he's not going to put you in the game, as it were, to go run a play and you not what the play is. It's figured out. You know what kind of enemy you're fighting. You know what he's capable of. He knows that you know he knows the word. But he also knows what God said about him.
Amen.
That's right.
So when God tells you to possess the land, whatever your mountain is, whatever your possession is, don't never stop fighting for it.
Amen.
God's got your back. I promise you, God's got your back. And as I was saying earlier, when you might get two steps up that mountain and get knocked back down, but you'll never, never take a mountain if you don't move your feet. You've got to make steps. One more song and I'm going to let... I'm going to let you go. I had it a while ago. Cover Me. You know that one?
Peace of God, cover me, cover me, cover me. Peace of God, cover me through the storm. Only in you I am safe. Only in you I'm secure. Only in you I find peace. So cover. Gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand cover me. Oh, cover me. Peace of God.
Years ago, never try to follow up on a preacher. You can't say anything that would enhance the sermon. It was tremendous. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Tremendous. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are to once again be back in the house of God. I just thank you. I just want to thank you. I don't even have words, and I can't express, but just a little bit in an elementary way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, how you care for us and predestinated us. You've made a way. You made provision, and you're at the top of the mountain, and you'll bring us up there. I pray that you would keep us. Every mountain that everybody's going through with, Lord, if we just have faith, keep climbing, we'll reach the top. Lord God, give us traveling mercies as we return home. Bless Brother Joe for his time in prayer and study. Give him, Lord, just a real serenity in his heart, Lord. He obeyed the Lord. We believe that he did. Watch over our pastor. Keep him, Lord, safe until he returns home, Lord. And we pray that you dismiss us with grace in our lives. Keep us safe is our humble prayer. We thank you for being in service once again. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Brother Harry will sing something.
Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me. Through the storm, cover me. Only in you I am safe. Only in you I am secure. Only in you I find peace. So cover me. Cover. Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand.